We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
What's good, everybody? It's our favorite time of the year here at The Black Effect. We're headed down to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival, and we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Wake that ass up.
Early in the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building. You know him from Snowfall and a host of other things. His birthday is one day before mine. He's a fellow Virgo.
Oh, God.
Damson Idris. Welcome, son.
How you doing,
welcome, son. Welcome, sir.
He said son. Why'd you call him your son?
Damn, son.
I didn't know your birthday was the 1st of September.
No, you a day before me. I'm September 3rd.
Oh, 3rd. Okay. Yes, okay, yes. A buddy of mine is the 3rd, too. Actually, the showrunner of Snowfall, really? Dave Andron. Really? Same birthday, yeah. Oh, Virgo's cool. The best, you know.
Absolutely.
They had us on New Year's.
There you go. Now, the first thing you said was, I love New York because I love Jamaican culture.
Yeah.
What do you love so much about Jamaican culture, and what do you love?
Obviously, the food.
Jerk chicken. Yeah. Oxtail.
Yeah. I'm an oxtail guy.
Oh, you and me both.
Yeah, oxtail. Actually, I like to dabble in both. I like to steal food from whoever I'm eating with. Plantains. Do you guys say plantain or plantain?
I say plantain.
I say plantain.
I feel like that's the right way to say it. I feel like I've been saying it wrong my whole life.
You have to switch through all different times of ways to say, different kinds of ways to say things. So.
Oh yeah, that's a part of my life impersonating people.
You don't have amazing Jamaican restaurants in London or in LA where you shoot? No.
Nah, there's none, man.
Not at all.
Out here, I like Miss Lily's.
Miss Lily's.
Okay.
I actually wrote on a gram yesterday. I was like, oh, where could I go? People said, Footprints.
Oh, that's in Brooklyn.
Yeah. Footprints is good.
Yes. Look, first of all, the best Caribbean food is in Brooklyn. We got Footprints. We got Suede. We got Caribbean Social. We have...
This is New York. There's
we have Tilly. We have
The Grill. One called The Grill.
The Grill, yeah. Yes. So
there's another one as well. I can't remember what the other one's called, but I'm going to try all of it today.
That's impossible.
But you say Footprint. Footprint is the best one to go to.
Footprint is known for their Rasta pasta, and they actually opened a restaurant in Manhattan called Jasmine's, and I think the guy who invented Rasta pasta. I'm like a connoisseur of all these things.
Wait, Rasta pasta?
Rasta pasta. You know Rasta pasta?
No.
Pasta with Caribbean, with chicken or shrimp or... What?
If you want to go, I will set you up at all these restaurants. No problem.
Please, like, please.
Oh, man. You know, my wife is Jamaican, part Jamaican, so that's what we have. All the time.
Wow.
All the time.
Jamaican culture is so prominent in the UK. Obviously, African culture, but Jamaican too. The majority of them came over to the UK in the 60s and 50s. And yeah, they took over. Man.
So you like dancehall and reggae music also?
Oh, definitely. There's this carnival in London called Notting Hill Carnival.
Notting Hill. Mm-hmm.
And we haven't been able to have it because of COVID. But the majority of the time I wear suits. If you ever want to see me ratchet, it's at Notting Hill Carnival.
So do you still go out in London and enjoy yourself, or is it to the point now where everybody knows who you are, so it's difficult?
I'm chilling, man. I don't really go out. Like, I'll be in like a private little members bar or something, mm-hmm. drinking some rum, some red wine. I'm 30 now, man. You know?
Oh, God.
Yeah. I'm not saying I'm old, but, you know.
I'm 30 now. I'm going to retire. Man, you're still young, man.
No, but I don't know, man. Like, I definitely see the difference between myself and a 21-year-old. Now, mm-hmm. more than ever. Like the club, I don't like the club anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't like the concept of it. I stand at a bar, people look at me like, what are you doing? No, I like chilling.
You don't know what to do.
I like chilling at a bar. Like, right. I don't like staying at the table, and I don't like that anymore. Like, I like chilling at the bar. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, I'm grown. I'm a dinners guy now. Yeah. I like dinners.
Right, you have to go to lounge, dinner.
Private members, clubs. Okay. And, yeah, that's my wave.
I saw you talking about how John Singleton told you to stay humble, though, amongst everything.
Yeah, for people that don't know, the first time we actually met you were up here with John Singleton.
Yeah.
He mm-hmm. don't remember you, though, Envy.
Yeah, he definitely remembers. He's like, this is the first time I met you in the flesh. I said, nigga, I met you when John Singleton was here. You don't fuck with light-skinned niggas, but it's all right.
Oh, man. No. There's a couple light-skinned guys in the DSS.
Okay.
You're in there.
But yeah, so how has that been for you, though? Because obviously Snowfall is such a huge show. You guys are in the fifth season. Yeah. We've watched Franklin grow up, and he has got a lot of big things happening. But in real life, you've grown up too, and your star has grown up as well.
Yeah. It's a testament to John Singleton. You know, he really believed in me. And although I fought for the role like crazy, I auditioned like 9 times. Mm-hmm. You know, he took me to South Central, opened up the car door, and said, if you survive, you got the role. And I was like walking around, had to be in character.
So you walked around South Central.
Oh yeah.
How was that? Break down that experience,
man. So I get to John Singleton's office, and I think I'm gonna read I'm gonna audition. Right. Mm-hmm. It's like audition number 8 or something like that. And then he's like, yeah, no, we're not gonna read anything. We're just gonna take a walk. So we're walking around, and he's like, don't break character. And he's introducing me to people. And you know, Singleton was like God in his community. Like, people would be like, yo, John! Mm-hmm. You know, and then they'd come up to me, talking to me, and they're like, yo, what's up, little homie? And I'm like, yeah, what's up? I'm just pretending like that I'm from there. And then his mom came, and you know, I'm British, so I'm saying a bunch of British stuff in an American accent.
But he didn't know you were British, right?
Oh, no, he knew.
Right.
He knew.
Oh, okay.
Like, he wanted me to
stay. What were you saying? What kind of British stuff were you saying?
You know, like, you guys say, like, elevator, I say lift, you know? Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You guys say Ben. You guys say trash, I say Ben.
Plantain.
Exactly. So I'm talking in an American accent, and his mom comes like, oh, how lovely your hair looks today. I'm just going to go over there and throw something in the bin. And she looks over at John, and she's like, John, he ain't from here, huh? I was like, man, mom just took this role from me.
Were you scared walking around South Central?
I wasn't scared, man. I was with John, you know.
Yeah,
that was my big brother.
Mm-hmm.
You know? That was my big brother, man. I miss him greatly. But as far as I get in this industry and on this journey, I'm always going to honor Singleton for being my foundation.
Well, let's talk about the new season.
Yeah.
So you're also producing.
Oh, yeah.
On the new season. How did that come about?
Wow. I forced them to give me a producer credit. No, you know, when you've been doing this show for so long, you pick up different traits, but at the same time, you want to be challenged. And my circles are so bossy today that they inspire me to want to be more of a leader. Mm-hmm. That's the truth. It's like, if you hang around with certain types of people having certain types of conversations and they're like, yo, bro, you should go in. And then you ask and they're like, okay. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been watching the Ye doc, you know, and mm-hmm. Hov was like, you know, close mouths don't get fed. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, mm-hmm. like it's true, you know, ask and you shall receive. And I asked and they gave it to me. And, you know, above all things, I'm not saying my level of producing is at the level of my acting ability. My acting ability is quite horrible. I'm saying I'm being a sponge and I'm being given an opportunity to learn so that I could use my platform and my brand to create more opportunities.
Now you play a crack cocaine dealer, right?
Mm-hmm.
How difficult was that learning that? Because you're young, so crack, it really affected me and ye, our age group. Growing up as kids, we would see crack pipes everywhere. We would see crack vials everywhere.
Did that to you.
I know. I was like, wait a minute.
It did.
You were just going to let him do
you
that?
You see crack pipes and crack vials all over the place in Brooklyn?
Not all over the place, no.
Well, in Queens, it was all over the place. It was very, very big. Very, very affected. I got family members affected by it and all that. Mm. So how did you prepare for learning that role?
Wow. Well, I'm from Peckham in London, which is the South Central equivalent, in my opinion. Single, mm-hmm. you know, single parents, you know, broken homes, dads in jail, mm-hmm. Police brutality, racism, and drugs. Mm. You know, drugs was a major factor of my upbringing and my community. Everyone around me was involved.
You ever sold drugs at all? Or no.
No. So
Andy, what are you doing here? This guy is crazy.
Everybody might have dabbled the dabble.
I'm just asking. I apologize.
So,
oh my God.
So when
that's envy if he ever sold drugs.
Have you ever?
No,
you haven't.
I've scammed, but no drugs.
You
my pops is a retired police officer, so there was no drugs ever coming in my crib.
Okay, yeah, but, he would have been on you.
No, I never.
No, I'm, yeah. So basically, I just preparing for the role was interesting. There's so much history, you know, on this drug. And. And the thing I love about the show, particularly season 5, is I'm not sure if you guys are aware about the Len Bias case.
I was just reading about that because I didn't know it was a real person.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So he was a basketballer in Maryland University mm-hmm. in 1986. And essentially, his unfortunate overdose created a snowball effect in America with the Clinton administration. It's basically how Clinton even became president in the first place. Mm-hmm. And they introduced mandatory minimums, right? So all these mandatory laws of, you know, getting caught with a gram of crack was the same as 100 grams of cocaine. And what that essentially did was it broke up the African-American household.
Absolutely.
And that's why so many fathers were gone, and that's why we see what we see today. And the show, season 5, starts with that. Correlating to Franklin having near in $100 million now, I'm living the high life.
Beautiful place to live.
The penthouse. Mm-hmm. Jerome and Louis are on horses. Leon's like a Franklin in his own right.
A boss girlfriend.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Lawyer. So you're seeing him enjoying this lifestyle like so many people in the 80s did. But then you're seeing the demise of a community. You're seeing people like Wanda Bell trying to find a sense of redemption after everything that she's been through mm-hmm. from being addicted to this drug. Singleton would say, you know, that black people have been affected in many ways, but crack cocaine was the only thing that made black mothers leave their children.
Mm. Wow.
So it's a deep thing, man.
And with Wanda in particular, her just even being able to try to find a job.
Yeah.
And she can't even get work. Yeah. And she wants to be clean and stay clean, but that's a hard thing to do, right? When
I think a lot of people could relate to that, man. And you know, we're humanizing these characters. You know, I always tell people who tried to throw and lump Snowfall into the box of just a show with guns and fast cars and chains. No, that's not the story we're telling. We're telling a piece of history. We're educating you as well as entertaining you. And, you know, as Singleton would say, we're giving you a movie every week.
Now, Franklin's trying to go legit. And we know how hard that is to do, especially when you have so many things in your past that are always going to be catching up to you. And having a baby on the way, too.
Yeah.
That's a big deal because you have to do anything you can at all means possible to make sure that you take care of this child that's on the way. You've made a commitment to do that with your girlfriend. I was thinking about this. For some reason, I don't really trust her. And I know we're only two episodes in.
He has bad experiences with women.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah,
and
he
so
does.
For that reason, I'm like, what is about to happen?
Wow. So my backstory with Veronique's character is essentially this. You remember in season three, Franklin kind of took the Mosleys out of that house. He basically kind of conned this old couple out of their bookstore. Mm-hmm. So he was taken to court, and the person that was their representative was Veronique. Mm-hmm. And they won that case, and he kind of fell for her and kind of hired her on his team and wanted to build with her. Something led to another, and then boom, now they're together. You know, the show, is this drug trade is a tricky thing. Loyalty could go so quickly when your life is on the line. And your life really is on the line 24/7. So, yeah, stick with the show, man. That's all I can say. Keep watching.
I just don't trust her. I don't know what it is. Like,
yeah, she's, yeah, yeah. Keep watching. Keep watching.
Okay, so I might be onto something?
You might be onto something. You might not.
Oh, well, you're a producer, so you should be able to know what's about to happen.
Can't tell I know you. Everything. Goodness gracious.
I've seen all I can say is
we
I've seen
to get
all
this
episodes.
Twice on yourself,
I know,
though,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
It's twice in there we try to get you to yourself.
And then you killed your friend.
Yeah.
I felt like, okay, White Rob, right? I feel like that wasn't necessary, but.
Why do you think it wasn't necessary? Because people don't agree with you.
I mean, okay, he was a little sloppy and he was telling your business.
He told Dad about the CIA?
Yeah. Yeah. But he could have, I don't know, that's your friend from like when you were young.
Franklin's in a different place now. You know, he knows what's important. What's important is his family and the baby he has on the way. And I think a lot of people could relate to that, making horrible decisions.
Killing your best friend?
Maybe it's going to bring down the whole,
well, your friend.
Bring down the empire.
Yeah, he would have. He would.
He would have brought down. And I was going to ask, you know, a lot of times in real life and not in just movies, you see these drug dealers, they make enough where they can get out. But they can never get out.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that what's going to happen to this character? Like, just never get out? Wow. Because you always want to see, you want to see the, you know what they do to the community. You see the money that they make, but you kind of want to see them ride off on that white horse. But
yeah,
it's never that.
White horse.
That's the game, man. That's the game. And that's what we're trying to preach to these kids. Not preach, but just let them know, man, that it's not worth it. It really isn't worth it. That's what this show's teaching me. You know, as, if you really look at this season, as much money as Franklin makes, he's not happy. Mm-hmm. What's the point of doing something if you're not? I act because it makes me happy.
Correct.
If it didn't make me happy, I wouldn't do it. Mm-hmm. So I think that's hopefully what I hope happens with Franklin is there's a redemptive quality to him. You know, he's done some horrible things. I'm hoping by the end of it, he realizes that it wasn't worth it. And hopefully he can redeem himself in some way.
You know, you also wanted to help other people get out of it and get into a legitimate business, buying these buildings and investing. But some people don't have that foresight, and they're more content with making the money that they're making and doing what they do.
Yeah.
And that's disappointing to see. Like, you're like, look, 5 years from now, you might not see this money right away, but later on down the line, you'll see this investment pay off. Mm. I also feel like people watching like to see Franklin still, you know, doing what he's doing.
Yeah.
You know how we're always rooting for the guy, even though he's not a good guy?
Yeah, yeah.
We still kind of, like, don't want anything to happen to him.
I hope that's a testament to how I play the character. Mm-hmm. but, yeah, you know, we always root for these characters, and we like to empathize with them. But I've honestly, Snowfall fans have said some wild stuff, on especially on Twitter. Like
what?
Like last season when my dad was about the... You know, he was a Black Panther and, mm-hmm. you know, he was trying to fight for what's right. And people were like, yeah, Reed got to kill Alton.
Oh, my God.
Like saying the CIA's got to kill the Black Panther. And I was just like, what? I was like, whoa, like what's happening? and that's, you know, it's an escape watching TV. But sometimes we should sit back and, you know, I remember Push the other day he was saying, don't be a surface level listener. Mm-hmm. Don't be a surface level viewer when you watch shows like this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I was going to ask.
Is Alton dead, though? Because some people don't feel like it because we don't see him get killed.
Go keep watching the show.
Yeah, is he like a cop over there?
No, I mean, that happened last season. This is the kind of things that people are talking about, though.
He ain't going to tell you. You know you got to watch the show.
But every time he says you got to see, then I feel like, okay, he's alive.
I was going to ask, when it comes to American movies, and, you know, sometimes people feel that, you know, actors that don't live in America. Mm. And they take these parts that it's a problem. I know when Idris Elba comes up with some parts, it was like, well, he's not American or yourself. Do you have a, what are your thoughts on those things?
Man, I think it's a beautiful conversation because I think it's going to push us forward. And you can't help but acknowledge when a group of people feel a type of way. So it's just about listening, really. I will say I'm an actor. I make believe for a living. So the very concept of my job is to pretend to be something else. What I do want to see, though, I want to see more people working in America, in the UK. You know, I saw Tessa Thompson playing a Brit in a passing. That was fire. Denzel just did Tragedy at Macbeth. And there's examples of people working in the past. So Viola's about to do A Woman King. Forest Whitaker played Idi Amin. You know, Denzel played a Brit in For Queen and Country. You know, acting is about transformation.
I feel like acting is who does the best job. Doesn't matter who you are. Like, people get caught up in, you know, let's say you have to pay a handicapped person. And then somebody might say, well, there's handicapped actors out there that can take that position.
Yeah, yeah.
But my thing is, who does the best job at the part? If they're from Britain, if they're from Africa, it doesn't matter. Whoever does the best job, because you're acting, it's a part. So,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. And you know, it's a story at the end of the day. You know, the most important thing is that the story's being told. Representation is very key. I'm not saying representation isn't key. It's very key. But we must realize that so much goes into making movies. This is the movie business. It's not the movie play. We have to make money. You know, and what's happening now is we're giving people opportunities so that they can raise their platform. So say you are a handicapped actor or a transgender actor or whatever, you're able to raise your platform so that you can be in a position to greenlight movies in the future. That's what we're working at today in the industry, which I think is brilliant. But right now, if a movie's ready and a movie's ready to go now and you want to cast someone and Jonathan Majors isn't available and Lakeith Stanfield isn't available and those guys have green light power, but this Brit actor or this African actor has green light power too, and they could get bums on the seat, you're going to cast that person. That's how it works
right
at the top. I like to say we're playing at the NBA level of acting. You know, no shade to, you know, smaller projects, but when it gets up there, the field and the net is a lot wider and people are from different places. It's the same in sports. You know, that's like saying Giannis shouldn't be playing
right
because he's not like, it's, you know, at that level. And you need to work to get to that level. You know, you need to put in the 10,000 hours, and so many actors have. And what I'm realizing is, you know, it's the arrow is being thrown at actors who are, have found success, but the reason they found success is because they've been working for so long.
Absolutely.
Behind the, and you know, they're finally at a place where they're able to benefit from it. But with me personally, I'm just here to do what makes me happy and to make my mom proud, man. And I've done those things. Everything else is a bonus. I always tell people, you know, if you don't want to watch the circus, you know, buy tickets for another show. You know, it's no shade. There's millions of people who love what I do. There's millions of people who, this is a small thing, but you know, there's guys in jail who are hitting me up like, yo, bro, you got me through my sentence.
Mm-hmm.
I'm supposed to stop what I'm doing.
Which is why you do it.
It's exactly why I do it.
And you got millions of women who like you also. And so.
Oh boy.
Okay, go.
What?
You didn't want to ask the drug.
You're good.
Question.
You're good the way you just.
Get to this question.
You see how she just. Yeah. Just go into that like that,
just professionally.
Are you still taking piano lessons, or how?
Whoa, damn!
So let's break this down. Where were you taking piano lessons? Where did we see him playing piano? I don't know.
Juilliard.
Juilliard.
Yeah. Yeah. No, so, no.
Where did we see him playing piano? Ye.
I'm just asking. I saw you were taking piano lessons or something like that.
Oh damn!
I did see a video of.
It looked like you were good with your hands.
Oh my
was
lord!
Was that Sweetie's piano?
Wow. Who's Sweetie? I don't know. No. Me and
you're
that woman.
You're blushing.
I'm not blushing. You're blushing. I'm not blushing.
I know dark-skinned people are blushing.
I'm nervous. No. Me and that queen are just friends. She's a great piano.
I didn't say you guys weren't. I was just asking about the piano lessons.
Yeah. She's a great piano player, and I didn't know she could play piano. I didn't even think the world knew. So I was like, oh, this is a cool moment. I just posted, but like, people thought it was.
Let me ask you a question. Like, you know, I don't know if Angela Yee could play the piano because I'm not at her house to learn. I don't know if Taylor, who's over here, our producer, knows. You know, I don't know if she can play the piano. So, you know, how did you get to Saweetie's house to see that she could actually play the piano?
Oh, no. So we basically, that day, so she's a huge Snowfall fan, mm-hmm. right? And that day we were at lunch, I think, talking about how we could collaborate because we actually wanted to get her.
Date before.
No, it wasn't a date. No,
work,
no.
He said.
Guys and
talking about collaborating.
You know, guys and girls could be friends.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I agree with you.
That's exactly what me and DR were friends.
Okay. All right, so go ahead. So y'all on a date eating? I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh.
Eating lunch.
Yeah, but
or was it dinner?
So we're having lunch, and then. She wanted to show me her new place because I love CB2 and I was going to give her some ideas about furniture mm-hmm. and art. And then, boom, we went and then she was playing the piano. That's it. I was in there for like 5 minutes and I dipped out. Like,
no doubt. Yeah. You got to prove it.
She's
to
a
me.
Friend. She's okay. a friend of mine.
No, that's nice. I mean, of course, you guys knew that was going to make the internet go crazy, though.
Yeah. Like,
people also were like, they would be such a cute couple.
Those people would be a cute couple, I think. But she's.
But you were in a long-term relationship prior to that, right?
Yeah.
What happened with that?
Oh boy, this is weird. Woo! You should answer the drug question. This gonna be the one.
Oh my God! Woo! This lever is what? we're still really close, really good friends. I was with her for a very long time. I met her when I was 18 years old. Who knows, man? Who knows what could happen in the future? You know, she's very much still in my life. We talk like every single day. It's so funny, you know, people struggle to keep relationships with their exes. But I am at a place in my life now where everyone I meet, I want them to be in my life forever. Mm-hmm. Because I realized so many people are coming into my life, taking my energy, hearing my dreams, hearing my stories. And then they're gone. And now they're telling that to the world. So I want people to stay in my life so I can keep that loyalty. Mm-hmm. And I made that decision with her, mm-hmm. you know. And I know that's a woman that I'm going to know forever. So regardless of what happens in my love life, every relationship just has to deal with that.
Did she call you and say, hey, word, Saweetie's piano, .. Did you get that text?
Yeah. But she's cool. She's an amazing woman. She's cool. She understands. She's a grown woman.
You also talk about that Denzel is your idol as far as acting.
Oh yeah.
So when you see, I don't mess up the young lady's name. When you see the young lady interviewing Denzel and she mentions your name mm-hmm. and he didn't know who you were, break that down when you seen it and how you felt. Like you watch the TV, be like, oh, Denzel. And he was like, who that is? And then he asked the white guy. The white guy's like,
I don't know who that is. No, it was insane. So I was at home, and my phone's just
was
like,
at your house or Saweetie's house?
Wow.
Just want to clear out. People like to start rumors.
It's messy.
I'm at my house.
Okay, your house.
So I'm at my house.
By yourself?
By myself.
All right, just asking.
Yeah, I was by myself. And my phone's like blowing up. And it's like a bunch of articles and stuff like that. And people are calling me. And it was like, yo, Denzel's like talking about you. I'm like, oh my God, this is crazy. Like, so then, he didn't know who I was. And he called
he
me
now,
dancing
though.
Address.
but
that was funny though. That was funny. But hey man, like it's a new day, you mm-hmm. know? Yeah. It's a new day. And you know, you could bash, you know, getting notoriety through social media. I'm not gonna lie, like there's a lot of my kind of existence has been on that through my work and just through just being mm-hmm. me. And some people from the past still don't respect that. Mm-hmm. But look what social media has done for so many people today.
Absolutely.
We have to start moving in the direction of the future. But above all things and all of that noise, Denzel Washington is my idol. He's like a god to me. And I will never have anything bad to ever say about him.
Did you ever get up with him after that? Did y'all ever speak? Because I'm sure people try to put y'all together. I'm sure there's people like he knows that you know that was like.
No, I haven't seen him, but I like to fantasize that he's at home watching Snowfall.
Like, let me find out.
Oh, that boy good. Yeah.
But no. Because of how much people talked about it, I'm sure it made him feel like, damn, I should know who he is.
Hopefully, because it was crazy. I will say, though, you know, to journalists, when you present a new actor or a new musician or someone you like to some of these giants, please present them in the right way. She presented me like I all day I'm in my living room topless. So he's like, social media is cute, but do the work. I'm like, been doing
you're like,
the
I'm
work.
Working, sir.
Know. But for just to, you know, so he knows. I remember when Lil Wayne, when they were asking Lil Wayne about new artists. And Lil Wayne was like, I don't know who that is.
Yeah.
And people were getting on him like, he's one of the biggest artists. Lil Wayne was like, yo, I'm in my own bubble.
Yeah.
I'm in my own world.
Yeah, yeah.
And people got on him. And it could be the same thing. He could be in his own world. And like you said, he doesn't know. But I'm sure he knows now. I'm sure after this, he did his homework. He had to.
Yeah, man. I would hope so. And like I said, man, he is just fantastic. You know, he's a great example of class, good taste, prestige. And that's the essence.
And y'all never met him before?
Never met him. No. Never
so you know
met.
What you're going to say when the first time you meet him? When the first time you be like,
just thank you. Just thank you.
Now, how many seasons do you think Snowfall is going to go for?
This is my last one. I'm done. I'm playing.
Because it can't go on without you anyway.
I know. The show is great in a sense that it's creating so many opportunities. Mm-hmm. Not just in front of the camera, behind the camera, man. Mm-hmm. Like, if you look at the people who are working on Snowfall, from the writers to the directors to the producers, it's just a diverse group of people. And it's exactly what this industry has been striving for. And that's great to see a director like Karina Evans, who I love, Karina, mm-hmm. Directed Drake's God's Plan. Mm-hmm. And she came in and absolutely killed it. I love to see stuff like that, and that's what shows like ours are doing for people today. But hey, you know, the story, that there's always an end to stories like this.
Yeah, I was thinking about that because, you know, like Issa Rae knew when she wanted Insecure to end.
Mm.
And so I'm sure they have an idea in their head, and then seeing where you are, your character is right now.
Yeah.
Trying
yeah.
to get out of the game,
yeah.
a baby on the way. Mm. I feel like things are going to come to a head really yeah. soon, just because yeah. as soon as you start trying to get out of the game
yeah.
and making those decisions that
something
you have
bad.
To make,
yeah.
something, yeah.
Yeah, something bad always happens. The animosity between Franklin Saint and Teddy McDonald's character
mm-hmm.
is in full effect. And you know what happens when people cross him.
I like to see your character because you don't really smile and make jokes much on the show. But flying the plane was the one time
yeah,
I
yeah.
felt like we saw him like really happy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, this is everything Franklin's worked for. You know, his whole life he's sacrificed and done horrible things to get to this moment. So, yeah, we're going to see some joy this season. And the fact that he has a baby on the way, I think, is part of that.
Let me
shout out. I think it was Ebony that did it. Ebony with two B's. I think she's the one that did the interview. I just want to shout her out because I said I didn't know her name.
Yeah. That's
so
Ebony.
What's next for you? What is some roles that you want to do?
Wow.
Is there something that you like? I would love to do that role. Like, that's my dream role. Is it an action figure? Is
something
it this,
musical?
I love playing real people. So I'd love to play Eddie Murphy, Sidney Poitier, mm-hmm. Fela Kuti. Mm. I'm actually. I don't know. Am I allowed to say it? Do you know who Rich Paul is?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm about to play Rich Paul.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Rich Paul, the agent?
Yeah. Yeah.
He said, do I know who Rich Paul is?
Wait, he has a show, something about him coming out, or it's in something where Rich Paul is a character?
No. Does he?
No, I'm asking you. It's something where he's...
Does he? I don't know.
Asking you.
Yeah.
No, he's playing him.
I don't think he has a show coming out, but he's a really good friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And there's people behind this window like, why did you say that? Mm-hmm. But he called me. He was like, tell the world. And I think we should. It's time we start cherishing black moguls. You know?
I agree.
And Rich is someone that people need to know. This guy has completely changed the game. I'm happy and fortunate to call him a big brother. And I can't wait to honor his story.
That's great. He actually, right, he approached LeBron in the airport selling jerseys.
Exactly.
I know his story.
That's crazy.
And that's how they met each other.
Yeah, yeah,
and
that's
now
insane.
He's like, and then he's, as a black sports agent, he yeah. gets looked at in a completely different way. The white sports agents were so angry that he was able to come in and get, like, the biggest
yeah.
NBA player.
Yeah,
that'd
yeah.
be a good story.
It's going to be amazing, man. And I'm really
agree.
Excited.
We should start telling the stories now while they're alive. Then,
yeah.
I just hate sometimes when we wait till somebody passes away to tell that story.
Yeah.
Like, you want to give him their flowers now. What he's done for, you know, how he's changed, like you said, the NBA and the sports agencies is just really amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember beautiful. They tried to make it so that you had to be, like, a certain amount of classes.
Well, yeah,
it was
one year
whole
in college
big deal.
Or something like that.
Yeah, 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 you need.
Because, and it was really based on him. Yeah, yeah. Him to have the power he had.
Completely transformed the game. And it's funny, I was at the Super Bowl. I was jumping from suite to suite.
yeah, we saw.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I was with him, Kevin, and Braun, too. And, you know, I'm just completely inspired by those people. Like I say, I'm fortunate to be in some really good circles, man. I'm learning, you know.
Who have you met that has had you nervous ever? Like, has there ever been a time when you were like, I can't believe?
I've been really good, man. I've met some amazing people.
Like, we met Prince, and we were all, you know, right up here. We were all nervous.
It's funny, like, I'm about to be nervous, but they know so much about my work that it's like, I'm almost not allowed to be nervous anymore. It's like, I remember when I first went to the Gold party, it was like Oscar night, and Puff, like, introduced me to Hove. That's how I met Hove, mm-hmm. through Puff. And Puff was like, Hove, this is Damson. You like the new Denzel. And I was like, oh, nice to meet you. And Hove walked away, and Puff was like, you see how you acting right now? Like, ain't nothing a big deal? Yeah, keep that. So ever since then, if I meet anyone, it isn't like some hater stuff. Hell, like, I love them, but keep it in, you know, because, you know, at the end of the day, like I said, if I ever meet Denzel, it's just thank you. I'm not asking for a picture. I'm not asking for advice, anything. Just thank you. You've already given me everything just through existing.
Dope.
You
know?
And I've got to ask you about D-Ray Davis's character.
My man.
Shout out to D-Ray.
Looks like he's using, but not just cold analogies.
Wow. No, he's got a cold. He's got that
the
Omicron.
Whole time sniffing.
it's summer colds, man. He's got allergies, you know? Yeah.
Well, Damson has to leave now.
Oh, man. Damson, all right, good. I would try to get a couple of spoilers out of you, but
I know. You're really good, though. But I think I did well.
But we appreciate you for joining us, brother.
Bless you.
No, we really do, yes.
Good luck with everything, man.
I love the fact that you're producing. I can't wait to see what else you have coming up, just because we met you a few years ago, and I think it's just amazing to see where you are and where the show is now, and a large part of that is because of you. So.
Wow, man, that means so much, man. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's Damson Idris. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
AT&T Connects and Ode to Podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.